One can go on down to kids' worship if you desire, where there'll be a lesson on your level. I want to encourage the rest of you to turn in your Bibles with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1. We'll be there in just a little bit. While you have your sermon notes and you're turning your Bibles there, I just want to kind of announce you something that's going to come up the last Sunday in October. And so right now we're just going to ask you to put the date aside. It is Sunday, October the 27th. This is breaking news. We are going to have a combined worship service out on the new property, and we're going to gather out there, and we're going to have a meal out there as well. And that's an extent about what we know right now, okay? We'll give you more information as the details follow, but we also want to let you know that as, you know, we've already completed a three-year campaign, a stewardship campaign, a capital campaign, rather. And if you have questions about where we are, we need to know what those questions are so we can try to provide answers. So I want to invite the dialogue for you. And here's what our commitment is to you. If we don't know the answer, we're not going to make it up. We'll say we don't know, but there were a lot of things that we didn't know when we, you know, 3 years ago, and God has done some wonderful things, and ministries to ignite hope for families have risen out of that. And come and see what God has done and what He is doing. It's going to be a great service. That's October the 27th. We're in this series on life in the church. And, you know, we've said for almost 20 years now here at Concordia Wesleyan that the church is the place to be. It's a place of acceptance. Romans 15:7 says to accept one another just as God in Christ accepted you. So no matter what you've done, where you've been, where you were raised, it doesn't matter who you are. The message of salvation is for everyone. And the church is to be a place of accepting people. But it's also a place of belief. And we believe, we talked about that last week, what you believe matters. And Jesus says, the one who believes in me has life. The one who doesn't believe in me does not have life. All roads don't lead to God. All roads can lead you to astray if you don't do it. There's only one road. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And today we're going to look at the topic of a place to belong. Because God has designed all of life. You can look at creation. You can look at our physical body. You can look at anything that has life works through systems. And in your life in Christ, God has given you a system to work through. And I'm going to show very clearly in Scripture today over several different illustrations about how the Word of God tells us that the system that God wants your life in Christ to work through is this thing called the church. The truth is that God created us all with a longing to belong. If you would say, what is it, if you would search on the internet, for example, why do we have this need to belong? Sociologists, psychologists talk about this idea that we want to be connected with people. And as Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica, he says there, it's on your sermon notes in 2 Thessalonians 1, we are writing to the church in Thessalonica, notice this, to you who belong to God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear brothers and sisters, we can't help but thank God for you because your faith is flourishing and your love is growing. Your love for one another is growing. And both in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Paul keeps these themes going. You have faith, you have love, and you have hope. What I want to suggest to you today is I think the Word of God clearly teaches, and by the way, these concepts are embedded throughout the Bible and certainly in 1 and 2 Thessalonians. We know in 1 Corinthians 13, for example, the last verse there, it says, there remain these three, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is what? Love is going to go on into eternity. There will be a time when we're with God. We don't need faith anymore. We'll see Him and we'll be like Him because He is, we'll see Him as He is. But love remains. God is love. And those that live in God live in love. Jesus was once asked, what is the greatest commandment? He said something that the Jewish people had heard all over and over again. The greatest command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength. But he did say something radical here, something they weren't used to hearing. He goes, and the second command is like to it. You love your neighbor as yourself. What Jesus says, you love God, that's good. It'll show up in your relationships. It'll show up how you love one another. And I think the scripture clearly teaches us that if you increase your love for God and for other, and as a result, other people, your faith will grow and your hope will grow and you will grow in the virtues of that God has for us through his Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, would you stand in honor of the word of God? I'm going to read just three verses here from the New American Standard Version. Now may our God and Father himself and Jesus our Lord direct our way to you, and may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all men, just as we also do for you, so that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God our Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all the saints. Lord, we are people that are on a journey not to just attain things in this life, but in the life to come. And your word clearly teaches us that as we grow in love for other people, and as we grow in our relationship with you, that you do something in our heart and our lives that we can't do for ourselves. And we become more and more shaped and formed into the character of Christ. Father, I pray for your church around the world, your church throughout North Central Kansas, your church as people gather today, Lord, I pray that they would encounter your love and to be transformed by that love and love within the body of Christ. But also, Lord, that you would increase and cause that love to abound to reach those that are not yet in the kingdom of God. And Father, we pray in particular for this local body of believers, that you would grow our love for each other. May we experience, and as we say, come and see what God has done. May those that see the interactions within this church, that they would see how we love one another and know, as Jesus taught us, when people see how you love one another, they will know that I have been sent by the Father and that you are my disciples. Grow our love, we pray, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. I want to tell you, throughout the scriptures, we are taught the church is the place to belong. There is within each of us a longing to belong, and that longing was given to us by God himself at creation. The God of creation designed us to live in community, to live in a relationship. In fact, sometimes I say Christianity in a word is relationship. Relationship with God and relationship with each other. And early in the creation story, we find these words. It's in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. I want you to notice, first of all, that the Lord speaks. It says, the Lord God said. Now, up until this time, he had spoke before, but it was light be, and there was light, and, you know, let the sun and the moon, roll. He had spoke all the orders of creation, and now Adam is there in the garden in Genesis 2:18 in a perfect environment, not yet stained by the sin and the fall of mankind. And the God speaks again. What does he say? He says, it is not good for what? For man to be alone. Okay? See, God created us with the need for relationship. This is also the first time God said something wasn't good. He said, it is not good for man to be alone. Now, we know he's going to make a suitable helper, and he's going to have the institution of marriage that is given. But I also think the scripture teaches us over and over again that God wants people to live in community with each other, to be connected with each other. And God created us for community. In the Old Testament, God gathers for himself a people called the Israelites, the Jewish people. But he does that for a purpose. He said, all nations of the earth are going to be blessed from you. He starts with a family, Abraham's family, builds a nation so that out of the Jewish people, all the nations of the earth could be blessed. And in the New Testament, after Jesus, who was a Jew, died for our sins and was buried and rose again, he speaks of the church. He said, I will build my church. It will be the hope of the world. God's people living in community, living out the design, and bringing other people in to the church. In fact, someone has said that the church is the only organization that exists for the benefit of those who do not yet belong. That's why, as part of our mission statement, we want to share God's love with who? With everyone. No one is excluded. God loves us. And a lie the enemy tells us is that we don't need anybody else. That true happiness comes from independence, being financially independent, being relationally independent, and being your own person. But I'm here to tell you, this is what God tells us, what sin, what separation from God does. Sin drives us into isolation. Sin causes us to live in fear and in shame and in guilt and in sin. Sin causes us to hide. And when you find yourself hiding from people and from relationships and from activities, you are probably dealing with some things that are trying to come against you and to live in sin. But here's what faith does. Faith brings us out of the open. Faith exposes the things that are hidden. What did Adam and Eve do after they sinned? They covered themselves and their shame, and then they went and they hid from the presence of God. Faith, though, brings down the open to experience love and joy and hope that brings us into the community. See, here's what God, how he designed us. True happiness, joy, and peace comes when you become interdependent with other followers of God. We'll read this scripture a little bit later, but in Romans chapter 12, it says this, since we are one body in Christ, notice this, we belong to each other, and each of us need the others. The church is the place to belong. And God wired you, and he wired each of us, that we could only fulfill his purposes for our lives in community, in his family, in relationship with each other. We need each other. Yesterday, I taught a membership class, and we had around 11 people that were involved in that membership class. And one of the things that I share in that, in the dynamics of who we are as a church, is it's believe, belong, and become. And the difference between, the link between what you believe and who you become is where you belong. You can believe a lot of things, but you'll never become them unless you get in community with people. You know, here's what the scripture says, Proverbs 13:20. You walk with the wise and you'll be wiser still. But you hang out with fools and you will fall into trouble. The Message paraphrase, it says it this way. You hang out with fools and your life will fall to pieces. Here's what the scripture tells us. Ephesians 2:19, it's in your notes. You are members of God's very own family, citizens of God's country, and you belong in God's household with other Christians. This is God's word. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Old life is gone. A new life has begun. And what I'm teaching you here today is not just theory. It's not just a good idea. This isn't just a self-improvement program. This is something that is lived out in the hearts of people, people that you worship with. And I'm going to invite Nikki Taylor Morris to come and share with us now about how she has found the church. Go ahead and come on up, Nikki. I'll keep talking until you get here, okay? About how she has found this local body of believers as a place to belong. Welcome her, would you? Okay.
Hello. I said in the first service that Pastor David asked me yesterday if I would talk today, which isn't very fair. So I said yes right away, and then I got home last night, and I was like, wait, what? What did I just agree to? Hold on. I take that back. All right, so I'm here to tell you my story, and I just will start out by saying that I can't tell you my story without talking about Celebrate Recovery, so part of my story is going to be about that. My name's Nikki Taylor Morris, and I am a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. And I am currently in recovery from bitterness, being a very angry, nasty, bitter person towards other people. And I still struggle with shame and guilt for some of my actions. And I struggle with perfectionism, can be very sinful. Along with some other things, but you'd have to come to CR to hear all the really nasty stuff. Hi, Steve. I'm more nervous in this service than I was in the first service, I think, because I know more of you here. So I grew up in the church. My mom was a church secretary, so I lived at the church after hours, after school, Saturdays, Sundays. I was baptized. We went to a covenant church. I was baptized. I went through confirmation. I learned the order of the Bible. I memorized all the things. And I went to Bible camps, church camps, had friends in the church. I welcomed Jesus into my life when I was 12 at a church camp. And I like to say, I think I did that because everyone else was. I always believe in God. I've always believed in Jesus. I prayed mainly when things weren't going well for me, not when things were good, but when I needed help. But I never really lived the way of the Lord. For 30 years, 30 plus years, I would say that I've lived in sin, deep, dark sin. My perfectionism causes me to sort of put a box around myself. So I always look good, my hair's done, my clothes are cute. I put on a certain persona, what I call a mask, to a lot of people. And I never really let people in, because if they got too close to me, then they would see what was actually going on. That I was making bad choices, and I wasn't really living a very good life. And so I sort of just pushed people away. I lived in isolation. I had relationships, but I don't know that I was 100% genuine like I am now, and I'll get to that in just a little bit. So I live my life that way, and about a year ago, my world came crashing down on me. It was basically a death inside, and I really didn't know what to do, and I was alone. So I spent many nights at the bottom of my shower, crying for hours, begging God to help me. And my son would sit out in the living room while his mom was hiding. And I wasn't being a very good parent. And so I started praying, and God brought me to church. I've been coming to the Wesleyan Church for about 5 years. I always sit in the back, nothing against the people in the back. I love you all. The Trost took me in back there, Nikki Henderson and her family. We would all sit together, and they would tell me they missed me at church when I didn't come. But, you know, church was just about Sundays, and then you go out to eat, you know. And then you go home and spend the rest of your day laying on the couch. So that was 5 years of that, and about a year ago, I came to church, and I sat in the back, and Pastor David preached a sermon about God taking your old stony heart out of you and putting in a new tender heart. And I thought, God can do that for me. Like, I don't have to live like this for the rest of my life. I can be different. And so I started coming to church. And Sundays led to me walking in on a Thursday night to celebrate recovery, because that's where I needed to be. And everyone looked at me, and I looked at them. I'm like, oh my gosh, they're going to think I have so many problems, and these people are all perfect, and they're probably here because, you know, they accidentally yelled at their kid last night, and they're like, God, please forgive me. I'm like, man. So we worshiped, and I didn't come to dinner because that would mean I'd have to talk. So I skipped the dinner. And then I came to worship, and then I sat in the back with all these women, and I was like, okay, well, I'll just sit here, and they can share all about their nastiness, and then I'll just go home because they're all broken and I'm not. And then I realized all these people struggle with the same exact thing that I'm struggling with. They're all fearful. They all have anxiety. They all have shame and guilt about choices that they make. And so I started sharing, And I've made the best friends I've ever had in my entire life here in the church. And they've come around me, and they've put their arms around me, and they've loved on me. And I've just run into Jesus. I have literally ran, and I have not stopped. So Sunday mornings led to Thursday CR groups, led to Sunday Bible studies with Mark and his gang, led to Wednesday night Bible study with Kurt, and now I'm in a Celebrate Recovery women's step study on Wednesdays, and I've met all kinds of people, and not one of them has judged me. Not one of them has told me that I'm wrong or that they don't love me. And I go out in the community and I run into people in Belleville and they smile and they say hi. And when they think about me, they send me a text message or they ask me how I'm doing. They call me, they invite me to coffee, sometimes twice a day. They ask me out to lunch. We go to things together. Our kids are doing things together. And that's this church. We're told so much to go out into the community and bring people here, and that's great. Preach the word of God. Bring them here, but don't forget about the people that are sitting right here with you right now. They're your family, and they need you. And during the middle of the day when they cross your mind, call them, because that's God saying you're thinking about them. Let them know that. Sometimes that's what they need for their day. So here I am sharing my story with you, and I appreciate you listening to me, and I appreciate all of you. There's a lot of people in the first service I didn't know, so I'm glad to get to know them, and I appreciate Pastor David asking me to speak. I would just like to say that my mantra, so to speak, for my life every day that I remind myself of. Carrie Grogan gave me an amazing podcast to listen to, and they talked about anti-heroes in the Bible, those heroes that don't stand out, but those people that are kind of in the shadows that are amazing. And during that sermon, they mentioned that God blesses your mess, not your mask. So you can put on all the masks you want to, and you can isolate yourself from people, but that will not be blessed by God. It's when you start getting messy and you start admitting to all of your things, to the people that also believe in Jesus, that God starts to bless you. Thank you.
Aren't you glad you came today? All right. Listen, you've sung this already, but here's the reality. Come and see. Come and see what God has done. Come and see. Come and see what love has won. Listen, when you face your fears, it takes courage. It takes faith. It takes a people to do life with. And we thank God for what he's doing in Nikki's life. Thank you. You know, the Church of Jesus Christ, and you have it in your notes there, it's called the Ekklesia. That's the name of the Greek word that is there. It literally means the called out ones. God is calling us out of our old life of sin, our life in the world, and called in to the community of God. Church is not an event. It's not a program. It's not a building. Going to church is really something you can't do biblically. You belong to the church, you are the church, but it's not confined to a building or a location or an event or a program. And here's the reality, God designed the church for your spiritual growth. The system that God has given you to grow your faith and increase your love is this thing that Jesus said he would build, the church. The church, we are told, is the support and the pillar of the pillar and the foundation of truth. And there are several metaphors in the Bible, illustrations, that give us an idea of how God designed the church to work. Listen, this message isn't about how the church isn't working, how the world views our church. That can be a topic on another day. I'm just telling you, you need to align yourself to what God said about the church. And God gives us these illustrations. Now, every one of these illustrations are dependent upon being connected, about working together. God is redundant in his illustrations to say, you are a part of this thing called the church. And the illustrations I give you of how the church is to operate, it only works as the parts work together. God gave us the church to belong to, since God designed us to live in community. And one of the most common illustrations of what the church is like is the church is the family of God. It is the family of God. In fact, Jesus said, when you pray, you don't say, hey, man upstairs. You don't say, oh, hey, most one that can't look upon my sin. We are able to pray our what? Our Father. Hallowed be your name. Come and do your will in me. It says we are no longer strangers to God or foreigners to heaven, but notice this, Ephesians 2:19 says, you are members of God's very own family, citizens of God's country, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. This is the word of God. This is where you belong. And listen, we wouldn't have these words if there weren't local churches. God designed the church to operate in the world and to evangelize the world through the local church. You need to be connected to a local church. There's benefits of living in a healthy family. We can talk about how the family is disintegrating and how it changes our values and stuff, but we also need to say there's benefits of living in a healthy, wholesome family. And one of those things is that you learn who you really are. You learn about yourself. Look what it tells us in 1 John 3:1. See what a great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. When you accepted Jesus Christ, when you confessed your sins, as Nikki talked about her sin, when she called upon the name of the Lord, says, I have placed you in my family, and you are my child. See, this is what the family of God gives us. It gives us our identity. It helps us to realize who we really are. And our identity is that we are not defined by our past. We're not defined by where we came from. We are defined by what God does in our life. And so the next blank there is my identity. I am a child of God. Now, Nikki in her testimony mentioned about Celebrate Recovery. And Celebrate Recovery is different than other kind of recovery programs because we say that the higher power is not a doorknob, it's not a tree, it's not anything that you come up with. We believe that the higher power is Jesus Christ and his work in our life. And so there's a difference in how we define ourselves, even when we begin to share in our share groups. We don't say, for example, my name is David and I'm an alcoholic. We're not defined by our struggle. We say instead, my name is David, I'm a grateful follower of Jesus Christ, and I struggle with, and whatever, whether it's alcohol, or whether it's bitterness, or whether it's trying to be religious and always trying to please people, whatever you're struggling with, or that I am in recovery for, or I am recovering from, we give credit to God. Our identity comes from our relationship with God, but we're acknowledging where our struggles is and where we want God to work in our life. It's huge. There are a few songs recently, in fact, the one that you heard at the during the offertory about I belong to you and I won't let any other voice define me. Some of the worst voices that define us is the words that we say to ourselves. And God said, it is not good for you to be alone. I have placed you in community. I have put you in my family. And a family that doesn't get together, that doesn't talk to each other, that never goes and sees each other, is a dysfunctional family. And God doesn't raise dysfunctional kids. He's a loving father. He's a good father. And he has great joy when his kids get together in fellowship around him. Another one that comes out, and we sing this sometimes in worship. Who am I that the highest king would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I am a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there is a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am who you say I am. Let me ask you this. Who are you? What voice are you letting define who you are? My identity comes from God. If you are a child of God, I am a child of God. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If you belong to God, the old is gone and a new life has begun. Sin doesn't define me. My past doesn't define me. What other people say doesn't define me. I am who God says about me. It's one of the benefits of being within the family of God. And God is the one who called you there and put you there. That's one of the illustrations. The second one is this. The church is the temple of God. God says, I'm building a building, something that will have for me. We are carefully being joined together with Christ. That's part of a beautiful, constantly growing temple for God. And you are joined with him and with each other by the Spirit and are part of the dwelling place of God. God's going to live within you. He's going to live within you as a personal believer. But if you're in Christ, you're going to be connected to the local body of believers, the church. And Christ says, I'm going to live in there. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. In their midst is what Jesus said. Peter says, unless you think that we're, you know, God puts us there and just leaves us there, he says this building that God is making, then 1 Peter 2:5, he goes, you are like living stones. So these stones are coming to life. They're alive. And here's what we know. When you build a building, I mean, whether you're a builder or not, you can figure this out. A building is only good when the pieces and the materials actually fit together and are connected together. You would have great pause, Jeremy, if all of a sudden you looked up and you said, you know, has anyone ever noticed that that beam up there is a half inch short and it's not connected to the rest of it? Someday that roof is going to fall in. It probably would have fallen in earlier. Or if you went to go use our facilities and you realized, you know, hey, these pipes aren't connected and this one is too long. They couldn't be connected. Would that be functional? Would it be working? Would we have indoor plumbing if it wasn't connected? No. So you have many different parts. But they all work together in their various places in a building to make it a structure that protects you from the elements, that gives you a place where you can have air conditioning and heating and all of these things. You are a temple of God, the church. 3:16 says, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and the Spirit of God lives in you? Why a temple? Well, again, a building, all parts support each other, and they're supported by the others. And as Nikki told us, there will be times in your life when you will never be able to deal with what's inside here unless you have other people around you to love you, care about you, and support you. It is not good for you to be alone. And some of you need to counter that lie in your life right now. Because you're telling you, even as I say this, you're saying, well, I'm fine. I'm fine. Listen, you can win arguments with me, but your argument's not with me. Your argument's with God, who created you for community. And he said, it is not good for you to be alone. And you won't fill out my purpose. You won't be able to fulfill my plan in your life if you choose to live life alone. What does a temple do? When you go by and see a temple or a church, you say, well, that's a place of worship. That's where we really find our first purpose of who we God. See, the idea and the illustration that we are a temple to God, it defines our purpose. We are to bring glory to God. I bring glory to God when I'm connected with other believers in this thing called the church. 2 Thessalonians 3:5 says, I pray that the Lord will guide you to be as loving as God and as patient as Christ. I want you to fall into the love of God, and that love is going to be expressed through the church. Years ago, when we kind of reformatted our adult discipleship, what we called adult Sunday school at that time, we had this idea of what we call life connections, and that's why our adult discipleship time is called life connections, because we were wanting to connect with each other and making sure that we lived out relationships. And actually, life is an acronym for living in faith every day. I've got connections to help me live in my faith every day. And so I'm going to hear what other people talk about the scripture. I'm going to sit under good teaching, but I'm also going to do it in community with other people. And I can say, hey, I don't understand that. I can ask questions. I can give input. I can tell others what God is doing in my life. And one of the ways that we tried to illustrate that physically is that we had little Legos. And, you know, we did a Thanksgiving banquet, and we had this. And what we showed is, and actually Bob Dykes made little Lego keychains for us. And here's the thing about Legos. They're good for two things. One, if they're not connected and laying on the living room floor as you walk in the night, they can cause a lot of pain when you step on them. Okay? But here's the other thing about Legos, is they only serve their purpose when they're connected. And boy, when you have one on top of the other, sometimes they are very difficult to get apart. Listen, Legos only work when they're connected to other Legos. Listen, disciples of Christ really only work when they're connected to other believers in the church. And you bring glory to God. In fact, Jesus said this, a skeptical world, people with questions. I am so thankful that Nikki was able to come here for, you know, almost 5 years and feel acceptance and feel love. And she says she came off and on, and this is on mostly off, right? Yeah, mostly off. But she had an environment, and she was loved and accepted. And one day, the Spirit of God spoke to her. And as she said, I've never been the same, and I'm not looking back. Listen, here's what you have. It's not the preaching that did that. It's the body of Christ. It's you being living stones, being here. Listen, it matters that you're here. It matters that you're involved. It matters that you pray. It matters that people have the nursery and in children's ministry. All of these things are working together to be part of what God is doing. What I believe matters, where I belong matters, and who I become matters. The next illustration is that the church is the body of Christ. Now, you are Christ's body and individually members of it. 1 Corinthians 12:27. In fact, this is one of the favorite illustrations of what the church is. It's like a body. Just as God created the body, he created the church. In 1 Corinthians 12:13-18, it says, the human body has many parts, but many parts make up the one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one. If the foot says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand, does that make it any less part of the body? And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? Notice this. But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wanted it. God takes responsibility for his body. Now, the older I get, the more I realize this, because the older I get, I become aware of other parts of my body that I always took for granted. I have pains that I never had before. I have limitations I didn't have before. Old injuries kind of show up sometimes, you know, the older that you get, and you realize you didn't really blow by that just as quickly. But listen, God has placed this where many parts, all different parts of the body. Listen, when Saul was on his way to persecute the church, and when a bright light came, and this in the book of Acts, and Saul, who became the Apostle Paul eventually, but during that moment where he encountered God, the voice of Jesus comes up after he was knocked off of his mount, and it says these words, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting what? Me." He didn't say, why are you persecuting my people? Why are you persecuting the church? He said, you're persecuting me. That is my body. This is the body that I will do my work in the world now. God has chosen to work through people to bring his plan out. And if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, he has chosen to work through you. And you need to be connected with other believers as well. You see, our bodies are unique, they're intricate, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God takes responsibility for his work within us. In Ephesians 2:10, it says we are his masterpiece. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which he prepared beforehand that we should do. See, this helps me, understanding of my body, that I'm part of the body of Christ. This helps me understand who my people are. This is the people I do life with primarily, is the body of Christ. My people, I belong with the body, with the people of God. You know, we don't go around showing parts of our body in a trophy case or anything like that. That's gross. That's grotesque. Listen, a body's a body when it's connected with the body of Christ. Okay? Just as our bodies are many parts, they're unique. Each part has a special function. They are needed. So it is with the body of Christ, with many parts, one body. And notice this, and we all belong to each other. In the Corinthian church, when he was talking in 1 Corinthians 12, he was going against two wrong attitudes. There were some people in the church that said, I'm not a part. Now listen, I know this. Sometimes you don't feel like you're a part. But you have to go back and teach some truth to your soul. If you are a believer in Jesus, the only way that you're not a part of the body of Christ is if you don't have salvation in Jesus Christ. Now, the next thing is, will you walk in obedience and get connected with the body? And in case anybody's wondering, has this misnomer, I'm not talking about membership on a roll of a church. You can have your name on a membership roll and not be part of the body of Christ. You've got to have your sins forgiven. You've got to be connected in ministry with people in the church. The other attitude that was being said was, you're not a part. I'm a part, but you're not a part. And you're not supposed to do that either. You know, God says, I placed the parts in the body. We are all a part. We're interconnected. Let's go on to the next illustration. The church is the flock of God. The flock of God. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He said, I am going to protect, and I'm going to care for my church like a good shepherd does for it. In Psalm 100, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. Notice this, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Sheep are vulnerable. They need protection. They need guidance. They need to be led. My understanding of, if you're going to have sheep, it's going to be pretty work intensive. You have to pay more attention to sheep than you do cows or horses or other type of livestock, because they will get themselves in messes. And the other thing I hear about sheep is they really stink. Listen, I'm going to tell you, if you get involved in the church of, the body of Christ, the family of God, the temple of God, sometimes the relationships are going to stink, and you're going to be dealing with stinky people. Hello? But guess what? Sometimes you stink too. Okay? Now, don't tweet that out to anyone. Pastor said, well, the church stinks, you know? But listen, we love each other even when there is a stench. In fact, we show our love for one another when the stench is really bad, and we say, hey, come, let me help. What can I do? Let me pray for you. This isn't right in your life. Let's adjust that attitude. Let's align our hearts. How can we help? One of the favorite psalms is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. What does that shepherd do? He leads and he guides and he nourishes and he protects. Images of green pastures and still waters and paths of right living, and he restores my soul. And then you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and you don't fear evil because you know that your shepherd is with you. But I was paying attention to what happened after you come out of the other side of the valley. You know what happens? You're still nourished, you're still fed, you're still cared for, and you're still in the presence of the shepherd. Even when I walk through Death's Valley, I fear no evil, and everything we talked about before the valley follows the valley. Here's what it says: your rod and staff, they protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. Surely goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Listen, don't just run to the church when you're having problems. After you're on the other side of the problems, continue to invest in yourself in the church. And here's what I know that Nikki is doing. This afternoon, guess where she's going to be? She's going to be here at 3 o'clock watching a movie on parenting. And she was one of the first signer-ups on The Art of Parenting, because she wants to help parent her child the way that Christ wants to do it, and she's running toward God. Listen, come to the movie today. Coming to the movie doesn't mean that you are going to go to the class on The Art of Parenting, but you're going to support others, that people are there. Listen, it matters where you are and what you do. I'm just saying, come in. It's a good inspirational movie. I have not seen it myself, but I hear from others that have, okay? So not only do we have God as our shepherd, but again, God chooses to put people in our life to fulfill his plan. God's going to work through his church. He said, I will build my church, and that's how we're going to advance upon the gates of hell, and they won't overpower it. And so what does he do? He gives us certain people. And one of the people that he gives us pastors. The original word for pastors is the word shepherd. And he goes, you're a pastor. I anoint pastors, and I have shepherd leaders within the church to lead and to guide this thing called the church. And they will work through my giftedness to do that. And they're to watch over you and care for you like a good shepherd. And then those pastors will equip the saints for the work of the service, so you can help carry each other burdens and that way fulfill the law of Christ. Here's what it tells us, what the sheep do for each other. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy, encourage the timid, take tender care of those who are weak, be patient with everyone. Let me just ask you this one. Do you need to be patient with anyone? Maybe you need to encourage someone that's lazy in their faith. God has put you in their life to do that. Listen, when we have a shepherd, when we know we're part of God's flock, that's our security. We can face fears when we know we've got a community behind us. And I'm cared and I'm protected. So it's my security. I am cared for and protected. It's the place I run to. You know when you need to run to the church the most? When you don't feel like you need it. Or you want to run about, they won't love me, they won't care for me. You need to get yourself to the body of Christ at the times when you don't want it the most. Okay? 58 times in the scripture, one another is used. Okay? By the way, I'll be through in about 4 minutes, okay? We're going to go through this really quick here. But as I shared in the first service, in Acts, it tells us that Paul strengthened the church with a lengthy message, and I'm committed to preaching the Word of God in its fullness, okay? The church is the garden of God. It's the garden of God. He says, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and the Father is the gardener. And listen, you plant gardens, you plant vineyards so that you can have the fruit. And God put you in the church so you would bear fruit, and not just a little bit of fruit, but much fruit, and that your fruit would remain. And so God says, my church is my garden. Be careful how you criticize God's garden. Watch what that does to your soul. I want you to bear much fruit. Listen, if a vine is disconnected, it won't bear fruit. It shrivels up and dies. And if you ever get to the point in your life where you say, I'm going to have an arm's length to it, I'm going to the church, guess what? Your faith will shrivel up and die. See, the church was given to us for our growth, my growth. I am nourished and productive. I love Isaiah 58, 11 to 12. It says, the Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you're dry and restoring your strength. You'll be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. And notice this. Doesn't this sound like a night and hope for families? Some of you will rebuild the deserted ruins of your cities, and you will be known as a rebuilder of the walls and restorer of homes. Wow. Pray that verse for your church. God, make that our kind of people. And lastly, the church is the bride of Christ. It is the bride of Christ. He lays down his life for his bride to make her holy and clean and washing her. And that tells us of our incredible worth. God says, you are of value. You are of worth to me. And I know that I am loved. And we could say within the body of Christ, the temple of God, within the flock of God, I know I am loved. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. Your family gives you identity. Your place of worship, the temple, gives you purpose. The body gives you a people. The flock gives you security. The garden gives you growth. And the bride gives you worth. See, the reality is that God wants you to become like his son. And that will never happen unless you belong. Unless you run to the body of Christ. This is God's design. Unless you go beyond belief, you will never become. Really, when you think about it, saying what you believe is the easy part. Becoming is a little more longer process. But the link between what you say you believe and who you ultimately become rests in where you belong. You belong to the church of God. You belong to the local body of believers. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your incredible design for us. Father, there are people that have fears and concerns. They have shame. They have guilt. They've been burned. Some people have been hurt in the church. And Father, may we say, oh, if you've been hurt in the church, please forgive us. Whether it's this church or not, forgive us. That's not our intent. That's not our desire. Sometimes we find old nature rising up in our hearts. We want to live humbly before God. We want to be people that are expression of the love of God. So as we increase our love for God and each other, may you grow our faith, and may you give people more and more hope. May we be known in this community as the rebuilder of walls that bring security and the restorer of homes through the work of Christ in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.